Kufya Dinitzafra Ubikul Yom Ditanisa. What is done on this day of gathering, which is to be a public fast day? So what is done, what is the structure of the day from the morning throughout the entire day? So the Marsa Amar Abaye, Abaye Nitzafra Ad Pabud Yoma, from the morning until midday, Ma'ayinu B'mili Dimasa. We examine the activities or the behaviors of the city. Meaning that, again, understand from the Gemara's perspective, the absence of rain signals some type of collective culpability. So the first thing we do is look at what's happening in the city. Is there any reason? Is there anything that perhaps should spark some level of tshuva? Mikan ve'elech, from midday and on, Riva diyoma karina b'sifra b'afterasa, for a quarter of the day we read from the Torah, Elech ba'inon, bless you, Mikan ve'elech ba'inon rachami, and from there on in, we go ahead and we daven. Shne emar, Vayakumu alam dom, vayikru'u b'sefer Torah sashem Eloheim, Revius ayom, or Revius misvadim umishtachabim lahashem Elokeihem. So again, quoting over here from the Pasuk from Nehemiah. So here you see the Navi explicitly says that they went ahead and they stood literally al amdom on their standing. They read from the Sefer Torah of Hashem for a quarter of the day, and for a quarter of the day they were misvadim, they were confessing and prostrating themselves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Top of your gimel. Eifoch ano. So the Gemara says, but 1 second. How do you know that we shouldn't switch around the parts of the day? Meaning, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ifokhana, Palgo di Yomakama, Havakaru umiftiri, Uba'u rachami. Perhaps again, the first part of the day, we should go ahead and read the Torah, and go ahead and do the Haftorah, and Davin. Ube'idach Palgo ma'ayani, and maybe again, the latter part of the day, that's when we examine the deeds of the city. To which the Gemara says, the Gemara says, lo, that can't be it. Sagadaitcha dichsev, ve'ela ya'asafu kolchar bidivrei Elokei Yisrael. So here the Gemara is quoting the pasuk from Ezra. Ve'ela ya'asafu, ya'asafu, kolchar bidivrei Elokei Yisrael. To me, all those who fear the word of the God of Israel shall gather. Ame alagala, ve'ani yoshek mishomim ad l'minchas ha'erev. So I'm sorry, I read the passage. So again, first Chodesh Baruch Hu says to me, all those who fear the word of God will gather. Uksev ubeminchas ha'erev kamti metanisi ve'efrisa kapai el Hashem. So you see over here that in the afternoon, the way that the Navi is structuring it, the Navi Ezra structuring it, is that when does the supplication, when does the prayer take place? It takes place in the afternoon. From here we see that the proper order of the day is, again, the first part of the day is spent, we'll call it communal introspection, then ultimately again leaning and haftorah, and then after that comes tefillah. How do we know the tefillah is in the afternoon? Because again, taken from the pasuk in Ezra, that Ezra himself says that it was only in the afternoon that I got up from my fast and I spread my hands out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in supplication. Amar Rav from Bar Papa Amar Rav Chista, Kol Shu Mishum Evel Kegom Tisha B'Av Va'Avel Aser Bein Bechamin Bein B'Tzayin. So now we're going to get into a little bit of an interesting sugya. Rav from Bar Papa says in Rav Chista that whenever you have restrictions that are as a result of avelus of mourning, what are examples of that? Meaning, we'll say what the Gemara is pointing out over here is there could be two different models for restrictions, specifically restrictions on washing. There could be tsar, just a need to cause general discomfort. And there could be avelos, there could be mourning. And those are two different constructs. So the Gemara says, anything that is usher because of avelos, he gives, for example, kigon, tisha b'av v'avel, for example, again, fasting on the 9th of Av, or general avelos, usher b'im mecham b'im mitzoni. You are not permitted to wash, both with hot water as well as with cold water. Kol shum mishum tanuk, but any time that we abstain from certain things in order to deprive ourselves of pleasure, kigon, tanis sibur. The example of that is a public fast day. So we'll say again, on a public fast day, remember again, there is no obligation to go ahead. There is no avelos per se, but there is the idea of depriving myself of pleasure. So the halach is b'chamin aser, you may not permit it to wash in hot water or warm water. Bitsonein mutter, but cold water is permitted. So we'll say, here you have Rav Chista drawing a very interesting distinction. If the nature of the prohibition is because of avelos, so bathing will be prohibited both in hot water as well as cold water. If the nature of the prohibition is because of depriving oneself of pleasure, then that restriction only applies to hot water, does not apply to cold water. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Idi Bar Avin, Af Anan Nami Terein. Rav Idi Bar Avin said, the truth is, we also learned this distinction. V'no'alin esamer chatzos, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that on this second round, the fast days, we close up the bathhouses. Amrli Abaye, v'ibitzonen asur, sochen esar asur mosay. So what's interesting is the following. What Raviti Bar Avin is trying to make a deal on is he's trying to say that we lock up the bathhouses. Now, why do people go to bathhouses? They went to bathhouses for hot bathing, not for cold bathing. So as such, says the Gemara, Raviti Bar Avin says the fact that the Mishnah says that they close up the bathhouses indicates that the restriction itself is on hot water, not cold water. Amrli Abaye, Abaye says, what are you talking about? V'ibitzonen asur, sochen esar asur mosay. By the way, what do you want the Mishnah to say? That we lock up the rivers? Right, meaning again, Abaye says it could very well be that the restriction is on the cold bathing also, but we can't control everything. You can only control the door to the bathhouse. You can't go ahead and lock up the rivers and prevent people from cold bathing. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shisha Bar Ravidi. So Rav Shisha Bar Ravidi says, no. Abba, remember, this is the son of Ravidi. He says, Abba, my father, Hachi Kachashile. This is what bothered my father. Michti. Let's look at the Mishnah. Tanan, it says in our Mishnah, Asa b'rechitza. So first of all, the Mishnah says that on the second round of fast days, you are not permitted to wash. No, then a samech artzos lamali. So why does it have to say that we lock the bathhouses? Meaning if at the end of the day, you've already told me you can't wash, so that obviously that tells me that what? That the bathhouses are going to be closed. Why the need to explicitly articulate that they're going to close the bathhouses? Elav shmamina. Rather, it must be coming to teach me what? That the prohibition is only on hot bathing and not on cold bathing. To which the Gemara says, Leo Messiah. Like, so let's bring a Baisa that supports this. Kol chayvei tfilos tovlin kedarkon bein betes ba'av bein biyom kippurim. So we'll say the Baisa says, anyone who has to go to the mikvah is permitted to go to the mikvah in the normal fashion, both on the 9th of Av as well as Yom Kippur. I mean, I've also said these are 2 days that have prohibitions or restrictions on bathing. So what the Gemara is saying over here, what the Braisa is saying over here, is that if you have to go to the mikvah, you can go to the mikvah like normal on Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, B'mai. So what exactly are you being tovel in? Ilema Bechamin, if you want to say we're talking about hot water, Tvila Bechamin Mi'ika. Is there such a thing as tevila and hot water? Shu'uvim ninu. Rabbo said that would be drawn water. The assumption the Gemara is making is the only way that you would have a heated water for a mikvah is if you were to take that water and, let's say, dump it into some larger vessel that would be heated. If that's the case, again, that's what's called ma'amchum. That's called drawn water. The halacha, the way it works for a mikvah, is a mikvah is only kosher if the water in which you immerse in is the way it originally pooled. If that water was drawn and then transferred somewhere else, it loses its status as rainwater and becomes what's called drawn water. So the Gemara assumes over here, if you're taking water and you're placing it, let's say, in a large receptacle that is going to be heating, you're going to immerse in that, that's not going to be a good immersion because at the end of the day, that's called Naim Shuvin Alav Bitzonin. Rather, must be telling us what? It must be telling us that you could immerse in cold water. And the Braisa is saying, Bechaybe Tvilos in a Shachrin alone. And what is the Braisa telling me? That who is permitted to go ahead and immerse in cold water? Only someone who is obligated to immerse, but someone else, meaning someone who just wanted to bathe in cold water, wash themselves in cold water, would not be permitted to do so. So this contradicts what we just said before. Because beforehand, we wanted to suggest that again, Rechitza Betzonin, washing in cold water should be permitted. Here we're saying it's not permitted. No. What are we talking about over here? This price is coming to teach me about Chamei Tveria. So we'll say Chamei Tveria are the hot springs of Tveria. And what the price is saying is that you are now hot springs of Tveria could serve as a mikvah as well. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is when the price says that I'm permitted to go ahead and use the mikvah on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, it's even coming to include Chamei Tveria. It's even coming to include the hot springs of Tveria.
Gemara is going to riot. The Gemara is going to riot of Chista, right?
The Gemara is bringing a correct. That obviously you could go ahead and bathe in Sonim, but the Chiddush of Tveria is you should even bathe in Chamei Tveria. Ihachi ema seifa. If that's the case, then what about the end of that brisa that says? What about the end of that brisa that says? Amar bichanina skana konim. Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohen, literally Rabbi Chanina, who was the Skan Kohen Gadol. We actually had two different versions. Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohen could mean he was the Skan Kohen Gadol, he was the deputy Kohen Gadol, or it could also mean that he was in charge of the Kohanim. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohen, Skan HaKohen, Kedai Hu Beis Elokeinu, La'abed Alav Tvila Pam Achaz B'Shana. But Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohen said that it's okay, the house of our Lord is good, it's a good reason not to be Tovel one day a year. Also, what Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohen seems to be saying is, it's okay, we'll skip. Whoever has to go to the mikvah, we'll wait a day. It causes undue delays, undue difficulties. You know what? The Beis HaMikdash, it's okay to be inconvenienced a little bit for the Beis HaMikdash. V'i amrit betzonin mutter, yirchatz betzonin. But if that's the case, Rav Chista, that you are correct, that you could wash in sonin, in cold water, so even if Rabbi Hanina is right, and therefore again, I won't do tevila in hot water, let me at least do tevila in cold water, to which the Gemara says, amra papa ba'asut lo shiach tzonin. Oh, what are we talking about? Interestingly enough, Rapapa says the Brisa could be referring to a place where a pool of rainwater that's cold, meaning cold collected rainwater, cold mikvah, was not found. It didn't have a cold mikvah. It could be that in Tiberia, for example, the only regular access mikvahs they had were the chamitre, were the hot springs. It's Tashma. So the Gemara brings another Brisa. Kisha amru asr b'malacha, lo amru ela bayom, ava balayla mutar. Suppose that when we said, that in Ovel, if you look at Rashi, excuse me, not Ovel, Tanis Sibor, look at Rashi, it's in the wide lines of Rashi, about four lines down. Kisha amru asr b'malacha, gabi Tanis Sibor, lo amru ella bayom, ava balayla mutar, mehach mashu b'delele tushabav mush mutar b'malacha, ve'ein bito ella bayom, ava in lefarsimin hadavar. So we'll say the Brisa is something very interesting, that when we said that you can't do malacha on a Tanis Sibor, lo amru ela bayom, that prohibition was only by day. Ava balayla mutter, but at night it's permitted to do malacha. So the Gemara says, that Rashi points out over here, which according to this logic means that on the night of Tisha B'Av, you are permitted to do malacha. But Rashi says, in mefarsim in davar, we don't publicize this. We don't publicize it. And when we said that you can't wear shoes, lo amru ella beir, that was only in the city. But if you're traveling and you have to wear shoes in Canada, I remember it's not like today where a person could buy, you know, synthetic material shoes that are just like regular shoes. So person had a pair of shoes, person had one pair of shoes. So the halacha is that if you have to travel on a fast day, you are permitted to go out and put on your shoes for traveling purposes. Okay, so how would you do this? Yosei l'derech, Noel, nichnas l'yercholetz, when you go out of the city, i.e. you have to travel, you could put on your shoes. When you come back to the city, you have to take them off. And when we said that you can't wash on a fast day, lo amru ela kol gufo, the restriction is only on washing one's entire body. Ava ponav yadav veraglov mutter, but to wash your hands, or say your face, your hands, and your feet is mutter. V'chein ata motzei b'menuda uba'avel. And so to the same thing you find with a menuda. Rabbi say menuda is, again, a someone who's excommunicated. Uba'avel, and someone who's in avelos. And I will say, now what's interesting about this is the following. So Pashas, what the Brisa just said, is that when it comes to a Tanis Sibor, the Tanis Sibor is only aser b'rechitza, what we call rechitza is called gufo. But if you want to wash ponav yada v'raglov, that is your hands, your face, and your feet, that's going to be permitted. And the Gemara equated the halacha of Tanis Sibor to the halacha of Avel. So the Gemara says, my love akulu. Now when the Gemara says that this is also the halacha by Avel, does not refer to all of the things mentioned in this price. So, i.e. work, shoes, and bathing, to which the Gemara says, ubamaya skina, what are we referring to? Ilema bechamin, if you want to say that it's talking about hot water, panav yadav raglav mishari, is an Avel permitted to wash his hands, his face, and his feet in hot water? V'ha'amar Rav Sheshes said, Avel asr lahoshit etzba'o b'chamin. That Rav Sheshes says that a mourner is not permitted to even stick his little finger into hot water, meaning he's not permitted to get any benefit from hot water. Elalav betzonin, rather must be referring to cold water. So we'll say, now this brisa contradicts what Rav Chisda said before. Rav Chisda suggested that the only prohibition on bathing is going to be rechitzas chamin, using hot water. But if a person wants to use cold water, that's okay. Yet the Brisa clearly indicates that what? That for an avel, the most he could do with cold water is what? He could wash his hands, his face, and his feet, but he may not wash his entire body. To which the Gemara says, no, the olam b'chamin, it's not true. The Brisa is actually referring to bathing with hot water. V'dika kashila b'chein ata motzei b'menudo upa avel asha'arakai. And I will say, in the statement where the Brisa said, and so too the halacha is, by the menudo, the person who is excommunicated, and by the avel, that is referring to the other two cases. that is equating the case of avelos to the case of work and the case of ni'ilas asandal, the case of shoes. But it is not equating the case of the avel. It is not equating avel to tana sibra when it comes to rechitza. Tashma, do I want to be Abba Hakoyim Shrabi Yossi Hakoyim? Ma'aseh u'meisu banav Shrabi Yossi ben Rabbi Hanina. So a tragic story. Rabbi Abba Cohen says name Rabbi Yossi Cohen, that there was a story, there was the Maisa, and the two sons of Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Hanina, died. It sounds like, again, they died at once. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanina, washed himself in cold water throughout Shiva. To which the Gemara says, no, you have the facts wrong. Hacham, Hassan. Excuse me, thank you. Hassan kishatak fu'u avelov. They both say, what's the case over there? The sons didn't die at the same time. The sons died consecutively. So they both say, what we will see is that Lamaisa, when you have consecutive periods of avelos, there are certain leniencies that are built in because they have, let's say, again, a 14-day or even less than 14-day, but a sustained period of avelos creates incredible hardships on the individual. The Gemara says, Disanyo, takfu avelov ze'achazeh. If a person had two periods of avelos that ran consecutively, one after the other, hichbit saro, if a person's hair became exceptionally long, mekil betar, he can go ahead and thin it out with a razor. We'll see why it says a razor as opposed to a scissor. Umechabis ksusaso b'mayim, and he can launder his clothing in water. Amrav Chista, Rav Chista says, why a razor? Betar avalo b'misparayim. I will say, because using a razor represents what? Represents a shinui. So the idea is if you have consecutive periods of avelos, you can go ahead and you can take a little bit of a haircut, but it's going to be a haircut with a shinui. B'mayim, you can launder your clothing in water. However, v'lo b'neser, v'lo b'chol. But you can't use soap, you can't use chol, literally means, neser is literally natural. So you can't use detergent, you can't use soap, and you can't use sand. There were certain types of sand, certain types of dirt they used as a cleaning agent. You can't use these things. You could just go ahead and simply wash it in water. Amar Rava, Ava Mutra Lirchot Bitsonin, Kol Shiva, Midi Dehavi Abisra V'chamra. So we'll say Rava seems to echo Rav Chista's ruling that Ava is permitted to wash in cold water all Shiva. Why? Because it's no different than meat and wine. Look at Rashi, last Rashi in the daf. Miti dehavi abisra v'chamra, detanu kein kitsone. Because again, the same way that having meat and wine represents some level of enjoyment, you're permitted to have meat and wine. If you're permitted to have meat and wine, you could also have some limited level of enjoyment with washing in cold water as well, on the base. So the Gemara says, Eina bogeres. So the Gemara says, Mesve, sorry. The Gemara raises a kasha. What's the kasha? Ein habogeres rasha lenavel as atzma b'mei eval abiha. Both has a very interesting case. A bogeres, remember, Rashi says, she'evia shtei saro, she's 12 and a half years old, literally brought two hairs. Rasha lenavel, ein lo, ein rasha lenavel as atzma, ela miskashetes kedei sheyikpitsu aleha. Hana'ara she'ina ro'uyen hinasei, adayin ad she'ti boger, Rasha'a debaschiyuv avelosi, uktana ina chayeves lokum. Suppose I listen to this. So the Gemara talks about the following case. A bogeres, which is a girl of 12 and a half years old, which remember Talmudically, is a girl who's ready for marriage. Which is not just Talmudically, it reflects societal norms. There's a girl who's ready for marriage. So what's the halacha? If chas v'shalom, she is sitting shiva for her father, she is not permitted to keep an unkempt appearance. She's not permitted. Why? Because again, the concern is that if people see her, it's going to scare off any. It's going to scare off potential suitors if they see her in an unkempt state. So therefore, again, Eina Bogeres. And Rashi just points out. But remember, we saw this. Actually, we saw in our Amud Yomi days. We'll see it in Daf Yomi in a little while. That I remember again, a girl in her maturation has three different states. There's a Ketana, which is below the age of 12. There's a Na'ara, which is between the age of 12 and 12 and a half. And there's Bogeres, which is 12 and a half and above. This particular halacha only applies to Bogeres, 12 and a half and above. Does not apply to a Na'ara. A Na'ara, remember, is above Bas Mitzvah, so is obligated in Mitzvah, which means she'd be obligated to mourn, but because she is not yet of marital age, so we are not sure, we let her observe the mourning practices, and obviously a girl below the age of 12 is not chayv in mitzvos at all. So the Gemara says the following: Hanara. So we see from here, Hanara, Rasha. So the fact that the Raisa says that a Bogeris is not permitted to let herself go when mourning for her father. So again, and father, by the way, is just used as an example over here, just to represents any obligatory mourning period. So Hanara, but again, a Nara, meaning a girl below the age of 12, excuse me, a girl between the age of 12 and 12 and a half, Rasha is permitted to mourn. So the Gemara says, "My love, berechita." So what are we talking about when we say that the girl is not, that a bogeres is not permitted to let herself go? She's not permitted to go ahead and compromise her appearance, be it an hour is permitted to. Are we not dealing with rechitza? Are we not dealing with washing? And the Bryce is saying that a bogeres is obligated to wash herself, even during Shiva. Ubimai, and what kind of washing are we referring to? Ilema bechamin, if you want to say that it's talking about hot water, ein habogeres rasha, what do you mean when we say that a bogeres is not permitted to let herself go? V'hamar Rav Chista, avel asra lahoshit etzba'o bechamin. Yet Rav Chista is on record as saying that what? An avel is not permitted to even go ahead and stick his small finger into water. So, excuse me, into hot water. So again, the notion of saying that it's so explicitly prohibited is now going to be permitted by a bogeres. To which the Gemara says, no, elalav bitsonin. Rather, we must be talking about cold water. And therefore, what is the Braisa permitting? The Braisa is saying that the Bogeres is permitted to bathe with cold water, even in the midst of Avelus for her father. So we see from here what? We see from here that Lemaisa, cold water bathing is under normal circumstances what? Under normal circumstances prohibited. And just the license to do this is simply extended for the Bogeres. To which the Gemara says, no, we're not talking about washing at all. Lo akichul upirkus. What are we referring to? Kichul also means coloring of the eyes. Pirkus refers to braiding of hair. So what we're saying is, what do we allow the Bogeres to do? Essentially, we allow the Bogeres to put on makeup, and we allow the Bogeres to go ahead and do her hair. It has nothing to do with washing. Leima misayele. Let's support this ruling. Amar Rav Abba HaKohen Mishum Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. Ma'aseh. There was an episode, Umesu Banav Shabiosi Bar Chanin. I will say, so the Gemara just tells the same thing that it said over before. There was an episode where the sons of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanin died, Barachatz Betzonein Kol Shiva, and he washed in cold water the entire Shiva. Amri Hasra will say, so what do you see from there? You see from there that Lamaisa, again, that cold water bathing is permitted during Shiva. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a good proof. Amri Hasam Bishetak Fuhu Abelav Zachar Zeh. The case over there is where not his sons didn't die at the same time, but rather Nebuch, they died consecutively. Disanya, takfuhu adilav zachar, and therefore we had two consecutive periods of mourning. We learned in the Braisa, when a person chas v'shalom has two consecutive periods of mourning, so zachar zeh, hichbid so'aro, his hair grows heavy, mekel betar, he lightens it with a razor. Umechabis kesusa b'mayim, and he's permitted to go ahead and launder his clothing in water. Amar Rav Chista, so we're just repeating what we said before. Rav Chista said, "Betar v'lo b'misraim." He could thin out his hair with a razor, but not with scissors. Again, a shinui b'mayim, he could go ahead and launder his clothing with water. V'lo b'neser, v'lo b'chol, but not with detergent, not with sand. V'lo ba'ol, oil is another type of cleaning agent. Ika de Amri, others explain. Amarava. Avil aser betzonein kol shiva. So we'll say others have a different version. In this version, Rava says that an avil is not permitted to wash in cold water throughout the duration of shiva. Maishna mi baser miyayin. But I will say, why should that be different than meat and wine? Remember again, on the last line of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Rava said that an avil is permitted to wash in cold water all of shiva. And what was Rava's logic? Why should this be any different than meat and wine? We see that an avil is not deprived of all pleasures. An avil can eat meat, drink wine. If an avil can eat meat and drink wine, then what? Then an avil should be permitted to wash in cold water as well. In this version, Rav is saying that an avil may not wash in cold water throughout Shiva, to which the Gemara asks, Maishnami Basra Vayayin, but why should it be any different than eating meat and wine? Meaning if eating meat and wine is okay, then Lamaisa, shouldn't cold bathing be okay also? To which the Gemara says, and here's the difference. Hasam lifahu che pachde. So we'll say, it's very interesting. There, by eating meat and wine, lifahu che pachde, literally means to remove fear, to remove anxiety. Well, so in other words, what Chazal felt is that sometimes, you know, it will seem, Maseches Matan, that there was a concept, we don't have this anymore, was a concept when the Avel used to come back from the cemetery, they would give the Avel something that was called the Kos Shel Tanchumen, a cup of consolation. What was the cup of consolation? It was a big cup of wine. A big cup of wine. What was the logic behind that? Logic behind that is a Kadosh Baruch Hu created something wonderful called wine. And what's one of the wonderful uses of wine? Again, if used in moderation, it helps take the edge off life just a little bit. So the idea is that they would give the Avel. So the Gemara suggests over here that the reason Chazal allowed for the consumption of meat and wine during Atevos was simply because that the Avel should have something to help remove a little bit of literally pachad, as fear or anxiety, a little bit of the edge off the difficult circumstances. So the Gemara goes weiter. We have a brace that supports this.
Is that anything to do with meat, or is that simply a wine thing that we just always...
No, meat also, meaning the Avel should have something to enjoy. Something to enjoy. The act of enjoying something, by definition, just removes a little bit of the Avel's mind from what's happening, and therefore takes a little bit of the anxiety of the edge away. So the Gemara goes back to, let me say, we were right, that supports this. So we'll say that the Gemara is quoting now this price. So same price we quoted before by the Bogeres, this time to support Rava's assertion that you may not go ahead and bathe in cold water, Nava may not bathe in cold water during Shiva. So the Gemara says, Ein Abogeres Rasha Lenava Atzma, Abogeres is not permitted. No, she's saying, Ein Rasha. She's not permitted to go ahead and let herself go, to not take care of her appearance during Shiva. Ha Na'ara Rasha, but a Na'ara, meaning 12 to 12 and a half, is permitted. So what exactly do we charge what do we tell the Bogeres to do even during Shiva? Ilema Bechamin, if you want to say we tell the Bogeres to bathe even in hot water, Ein HaBogeres Rasha. So what do you mean that the Bogeres is not Rasha, that she's not permitted? It can't be that we permit her to go ahead and bathe in hot water, because Lamaisa, again, Rav Chista said explicitly that's Asur. Elav Bitsoni. Rather, it must be saying what? That we allow the Bogeres to bathe in cold water. Rabbi said the fact that we allow the Bogeres to bathe in cold water indicates that what? Under normal circumstances, it would be usur. Just like this version of Rava is saying, to which the Gemara says, no, lo, it's not referring to bathing at all. Akichul upirkus. It's actually referring to what? It's actually referring to the coloring of eyes, as well as meaning makeup and braiding. Amar Rav Chista Zoso, Maris Rav Chista says, we also see from here, Avel usur b'tichboses kol shiva. That our Avel is not permitted to go ahead and launder his clothing all Shiva. Rashi's Zosalas, Midimukmina la bikirchulu pircho swadun and tikbosa. So we'll say, once we see that Lamaisa, under normal circumstances, a woman would not be permitted to put on makeup or to go in and braid her hair, we see that activities that allow for the Avel's own comfort or sense of self-confidence are going to be prohibited. Therefore, laundering one's clothing during Shiva is also prohibited. What is the halacha? Avel asr lirchotz kol gufo bein bechamin bein betzonin. An Avel during Shiva is not permitted to wash his or her entire body either with cold water or with hot water. But an Avel is permitted to wash his face, his hands, and his feet. You can't do it with hot water, but you can do it with cold water. But to go ahead and anoint oneself with oil or with creams, any amount, again, with creams or ointments, an Avel is not permitted to use that at all during Shiva. However, again, things that are used to remove or to mask body odor, that a person is permitted to do. And Abosai, this is
how the Chalamai is. What's permitting with that?
Shades quickly. So just to show you this very interestingly, so again, the ointment piece is permitted. Excuse me, the ointment piece is halacha l'maisa. Now we paskin that Avel is not permitted to apply any kind of creams or ointments, leaving aside if a person has some type of skin condition for which it's permitted, or again, certainly deodorant to go to mask body odor. The interesting discussion is about the bathing. So the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Yara Deyasim in Reish Pei Aleph Sif Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch paskins. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, not Reish Pei Aleph. Where am I? I'm sorry. Shin Pei Aleph. I'm sorry. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch writes, bless you. Rechitza Ketzad Os. Ketzad. Asra Lirchovs Kol Gufa Filibitsoni. Tell Shulchan Aruch Paskins that during Shiva, a person is not permitted to wash their entire body, even with cold water. Avaponav yodav veraglov bechamin aser, but your hands, your face, and your feet can't wash with hot water. However, betzonin mutter, but you can wash with cold water. Of course, again, if a person is dirty, mamish, a person is dirty, so lemaisa, again, a person is permitted to go ahead and wash. And one need not worry. The idea that Shulchan Aruch is saying is the only restriction is something that would be construed as some type of pleasurable bathing. But if a person is objectively dirty, then lemaisa, again, they are permitted to bathe. Now, I'll tell you, there's an interesting caveat to this. So the same siman, Shin Pei Aleph in Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch writes, She'istinis mutter lirchotz kol gufo. Well, so the exception to this is an istinus. An istinus is a fastidious individual, someone who is very delicate, and someone, again, who cannot really handle any type of discomfort. So the halacha is that an istinus is permitted to bathe even during Shiva. Look what he writes. Velo kamisha omer istinus ani. Matirilo, right? Just because you say you're an istinus does not mean you're an istinus. Eladavka shahu yadua shahu istinus umisnaig binikios. But again, some people have like a reputation of being that guy's an istinus. Right? A person who conducts himself like this under normal circumstances. However, in lo yirchatz yitzta'er harbe, and if a person doesn't bathe, he's going to be an incredible tsar. V'yavol de michosh, and literally can become sick over it. That could become sick over it doesn't literally mean that person is going to become sick. The idea that it bothers a person so much that you can't remain in that state. So the truth is, again, we'll get into more of this when we get into Maseches Mo'ikan, but the idea is this is a very important halacha l'maaseh today, because one could definitely make the cogent argument that bathing practices, and it's not just the cogent argument, what it's clear, bathing practices have definitely changed since the times of the Gemara to today. And the truth is, according to many poskim, most people do have the status of being an istinus, do have the status of being a fastidious individual today. So lemaisa, for example, in Hilchos Avelos, there are many poskim that bring down that although a person is not permitted to bathe in hot water on during Avelos at all, but let's say again a person is very sweaty, a person is exceptionally uncomfortable, and a person is just you know going out of my skin because how long can a person go without bathing for? So one would be permitted to bathe in cold water. Again, cold water. That would be the present day heter of istinus. Person has a skin condition, or person has some other medical issue, then of course, again, halacha is clear, person can bathe in cold water. But assuming a person is just suffering from severe discomfort, it would appear that there is room to be lenient to allow for cold water bathing even during Shiva. Okay. The Gemara goes weiter. Salusa de Tanisa. I will say, so now we're going weiter. So it's alusa de Tanisa means the Gemara is going to discuss about the placement of Anenu. And again, in a public fast, they say, where do we put Anenu in Tefillah? So the Gemara says, alusa de Tanisa, hechim mit karinon. Where do we place it? Where do we mention it? Adbere Rehuda Rabbi Yitzchok Bere. Rabbi Yehuda spoke, literally took a walk and spoke to Rabbi Yitzchok, his son, Vidarish, and he said to him the following, Yachid Shekibel Alav Tanis, if an individual took upon himself a fast, Nispalo Shal Tanis, he goes ahead and he davens a fast day Shmore Esrei, meaning Anenu. Behechon Omra, and where does he insert Anenu? Bein Goel Rofe. He inserts it between the brachos of Goel, right, of the bracha ben goel rofe to the bracha rofua maskif for Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi Yitzchak raised the kasha. Dechi yachid kovei a bracha liatmo. Is that true? That individual. So also remember again, this is talking about a tanis yachid, which means what? I accepted a fast upon myself. No one else here is fasting. I accepted a fast upon myself. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, are you telling me then that for a personal fast, I change Shmona Esrei? For my personal fast, Shmona Esrei changes. Rabbi Yitzchak therefore said, no, if you're fasting about a private fasting, so it's true you have to insert Anenu, but where do you insert Anenu? You insert Anenu in Shema Kolenu, right? Because Shema Kolenu is the place for our personal petition. So if I'm having a personal fasting, lemaisa again, that's where my Anenu goes. So the Gemara says, Meisvei, where is the kasha? Excuse me, Vechin Mar Rav Sheshes B'Shomei Tefillah, and Rav Sheshes echoed the same sentiment and said, you're right, when an individual is fasting, you place it in Shomei Tefillah. Meisei, the Gemara is the Kasha. Ein ben yachid letzibor. There is no distinction between an individual and the tzibor and the congregation. We'll see what that means in just a little bit. Ela shezem ispalo shmona esrei. Except that this one davens shmona esrei, meaning this one apparently seems to be the yachid, the individual davens a tefillah of 18 brachos. Vizem ispalo tisha esrei, and this one davens 19 brachos. Also, which makes it sound like the individual does not say anenu, the collective does say anenu. My yochid umay tzibor. What does it mean when it says yochid, individual and tzibor? Ilema yochid mamish. If you say that yochid means really an individual, v'tzibor shatz, and the tzibor refers to the shliach tzibor. So if that's the case, then what the price is saying is, if when I daven my own personal shmona esrei, I say I have a fast day, so lemaisa again I only daven 18 brachos. But if there's a communal fast day, the shliach tzibor davens 19 brachos, meaning because anenu is a separate bracha. Hani tisha esrei. That's not true, because then Rabbi says if it's a communal fast day, the Shliach Tzibor is not davening 19 brachos. What is he davening? He's davening 24 brachos. We'll see later on again. Lamaisa Rabbi said there were extra brachos inserted in Shmona Esrei for the Shliach Tzibor on a communal fast day. I love Hachi Kamar. Rather, this is what it must mean. Ein bein yochid the kibel alav tanis yochid. The yochid shekibel alav tanis tzibor. Rabbi said there is no distinction between individual. So Rabbi said apparently what the Gemara is going to say now is there are two different ways a person could accept upon himself a fast day. I could accept upon myself a tanis yochid, or I could accept upon myself a fast day that is like a tanis tzibor. Now we're going to see the nafkamina between that is going to be the level of restriction associated with that fast. Now in both cases, I as an individual am fasting, the community, the collective is not fasting. But the nature, the form of the fast will be different depending on the tzura of the framework of the fast I accept. Sigmar says, again, under normal circumstances, there is no distinction between an individual who accepts upon himself a personal fast versus an individual who accepts upon himself a communal fast. Again, I want to be clear. When I'm accepting upon myself a communal fast, who's fasting? Who's fasting? Just me. The community is not fasting, but I'm modeling my personal fast after what? After the framework of a communal fast. So there's no difference between those two types of fasts. Elo. Shazem is spalo shmonas, right? Rather, but again, when I accept upon myself a personal fast, I daven 18 brachos. What does that mean? It means I daven regular shmonas. And where do I insert that anenu? Where do I insert that anenu? In shmakol anenu. Vizem is spalo tishayas, right? But again, if I accept upon myself a communal fast, then in fact I daven 19 brachos because I go ahead and insert anenu between goel and rofei. Shmamino yochid kovei bracha liatzmo. See from here that an individual does insert anenu as its own separate standing bracha. To which the Gemara says, lo, not true. Li'olam emelecha shliach tzibor. I'll say that lemaisa again. No, let's go back to what we originally said before. Now, when tzibor in the braisa meant shliach tzibor, so what is the Gemara suggesting now? That lemaisa in the braisa, there's a distinction. If I'm fasting as an individual, said lemaisa, what? I only say 18 brachos because I insert anenu and shmakolenu. But when it's a communal fast day, the shliach tzibor recites 19 brachos, i.e., he recites anenu as a separate bracha between gol and rofe. So the Gemara says, but you raised the question before that I can't refer to the Shliach Tzibor because Shliach Tzibor Esrin Va'arba Matzli. You said before I can't refer to the Shliach Tzibor. Why? Because again, if there's a communal fast day, when the Shliach Tzibor repeats Shmona Esrei, that Chazar HaSashatz has 24 brachos, to which the Gemara answers, Begimel Ta'anios Rishonos. What is it referring to? It's referring to the first three fast days, two Mishnayos to go to Bosai, the first set of three fast days, the Lekka Esrin Va'arba, where in those passages Rabbi said we are not yet reciting the 24 brachos in Chazaras Hashatz. The 24 brachos only come later on. Below, the Gemara says, is that true? That in the first set of three fast days, so we don't recite the Chazaras Hashatz of 24 brachos. V'ha, but we learned, Ein Bein Katoni. But yet again, the Mishnah said, Ein Bein, there is no distinction. Ein Bein Gimel Rishonos, L'Gimel Emtzios, Ela shebe'elu mutarin ba'asiyas melacha, ube'elu asur la'asiyas melacha. So what did we just learn in the Mishnah? We learned in the Mishnah that there is no distinction between the first group of three fast days and the second group of three fast days, except that what? That in the second grouping of three fast days, you may not do melacha during the day, which indicates that what? Halachaf dalid ze v'zeh shavim. But that indicates to us that as far as the recitation of 24 brachos in Chazaras Hashatz of the Chazan, that Lamaisa, both the first set of three and the second set of three have 24 brachos and they're chazaras hashatz, to which the Gemara says tana v'shir. No, it's just simply the Mishnah doesn't mention everything. What the tana v'shir means is a stylistic framework, where the tana of the Mishnah can't mention every single detail. So the Tana mentions some details and leaves out other details. So for example, the Tana made it sound like the only distinction between the first set of three fast days and the second set of three fast days is what? Is just malacha. But the truth is there are more distinctions. For example, in the first set of three fast days, you don't say 24 brachos and chazaras hashatz. And the second set of three fast days, you do. To which the Gemara says, my shir, the hashir. So why did it leave this one out? The su, ha ein bein katani. But how can you say that again? The Mishnah explicitly says that there is no distinction between the first set of fast days and the second set of fast days, except for malacha. Ela tana beisuri kamayri betfilos lo kamayri. Lo mayri. Rather, again, it's simpler. The Mishnah is not talking about the order of prayer on fast days. The only thing the Mishnah is talking about is what? Is the nature of malacha. Or I should say, or isurim. Are prohibitions associated with fast days, but not again the prayers of the fast days themselves. V'bayisema, and the other possibility is be'emsa'isa nami loch matzlich avdalin. And the other possibility is that what? Maybe we only begin to recite the 24 brachos in chazaras hashatz when? In the third set of fast days. But maybe again that the second is just like the first, and it's a simple chazaras hashatz. But we'll stop over here. But again, just to bear in mind, we're leaving off mid-topic. So we're leaving off over here again in the middle of this discussion as to what, remember, this whole thing started with how does Aneinu work? How does Aneinu work? Specifically, we're trying to figure out, again, for an individual. For the tzibur, we understand that it's a bracha b'fnei atzma, that it's its own bracha. The question is, if an individual is fasting, does an individual also make it a bracha b'fnei atzma between goel and rofe, or does an individual simply include it in shomea tefillah? All right, to be continued tomorrow in your session.